Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, a top Russian Orthodox bishop makes an important visit to the Vatican. Hear from the Catholic Church's spokesman on ecumenical dialogue. The Vatican's Justice and Peace Council presents the Van Thuan Awards in memory of the late Vietnamese cardinal who spent years in jail in his homeland. And the second part of our interview with the director of the Vatican Observatory, whose new headquarters Pope Benedict visited on Wednesday afternoon. Head of the Russian Orthodox Church's Department of External Relations has been on a first official visit to the Vatican this week. Archbishop Hilarion Alfeyev, a renowned theologian, church historian and composer, is to meet with Pope Benedict on Friday at Castel Gandolfo. He spent the past 2 days holding talks with top Vatican officials, including the Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, and the head of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper, to talk about Catholic-Orthodox relations.
Bishop Hilarion mentioned on the beginning that the new pontificate of Benedict XVI was very important for them because Pope Benedict XVI is highly regarded by the Russian Orthodox Church for his Christian, for his moral positions, because he does not take into account political correctness, and also they esteem him very highly, and this helps also, of course, to our mutual relations.
Cardinal Kasper also told me about the topics he discussed with Bishop Hilarion, who has been a key player in ecumenical affairs for the Russian Orthodox Church for a number of years.
My most important impression is that we have improved very much our relations in the last years, and it was clear also yesterday. It was a very calm conversation about the situation from the side of the Russian Orthodox Patriarchate of Moscow and ours. And then we spoke about several points, what we can do in the next time. We spoke first about the international dialogue with all Orthodox churches together, which will take place in some weeks now in Cyprus, and the Russian Orthodox delegation wants to return to the table of the discussions. They have solved the problem of Estonia, which was between Constantinople and Moscow, and now they want to collaborate as it was before. We spoke about the document of Ravenna, their impression. They have not so much problem with our point of view, but what is mentioned in a half phrase in Ravenna about the primacy of Constantinople. I said, make a note on the document. That's finished. And well, now we are looking forward about the discussion on the role of the Bishop of Rome in the first millennium in the universal Church. This will be the issue of Cyprus. Then we spoke about our bilateral relations. Well, there was made also the proposal that they form a kind of bishops' conference on the European level in order that we have a direct partner for our cooperation, because this is lacking now. We cannot work in Europe and give witness together in Europe only with the Russian Orthodox. We must include all Orthodox churches which are present in Europe. And so this will be a discussion of the next months with all Orthodox churches, whether they can create such an institution for the cooperation with the bishops' conferences of Europe.
You're talking about some concrete steps, concrete cooperation in different ways. Can you give us any ideas? You mentioned perhaps an exhibition coming up.
Well, that's the exhibition and the concert, and I made the proposal, perhaps we in Rome can make an exhibition in the future in Moscow, and they agreed immediately. But the cooperation concerns especially the problems of the cultural and the social field, and also the question of the Christian values in Europe, family, human sexuality, social justice, and so on. And because we have more or less the same positions, Orthodox and Catholics, so we can cooperate very easily and give common witness, and together our voice will be stronger than when we speak alone.
Would you say that this visit marks a definitive end to the tensions, the difficulties over the diocese there, the erection of the Catholic diocese in Moscow, or not?
Yes, I will agree with this, because also in Moscow the situation has very much improved. Already some years ago I made the proposal to have a common working commission in Russia, and this works very well, and there's a new Archbishop, Patsy, is also a good partner for the Russian Orthodox Church, is very highly regarded. And so things are going very well, and this commission goes on in its work. I think we have overcome these tensions. We are in a new situation.
Does all this bring a possible papal visit to Moscow much closer?
No, we did not. We did touch only on the margin at this point, because now the new Patriarch Kirill, who knows very well Rome and met already twice Pope Benedict, has to visit all the other patriarchs of the Orthodox churches. This needs time. And then perhaps we can reflect on a meeting between the Holy Father and the Patriarch. Not in Moscow, probably also not in Rome. There are many third places. But it's
For
not.
Example?
I have at least 10 suggestions of bishops who want that the Pope and Patriarch meet in their diocese. And so, well, that's totally open. But it's not on the agenda at this moment. Both sides are open for this. Nobody refutes it. But at this moment, it's not in discussion, such a plan. We have so many other channels to communicate with Moscow. It's not the only point we must always emphasize.
Thanks there to Cardinal Walter Kasper, President of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity. And in other news connected to the Council for Christian Unity, Pope Benedict will visit the synagogue here in Rome this autumn, an event he says he is greatly looking forward to. The Pope's words were contained in a telegram sent to the chief rabbi of Rome, Riccardo Di Segni, on Thursday to mark the occasion of the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Pope, in the message to Rome's Jewish community, writes, "While I express my best wishes that the holidays are an occasion for shared joy, I invoke God's abundant blessing on all Jews, as well as his constant encouragement in all efforts to promote justice, harmony, and peace." This trip will mark the third synagogue that Benedict XVI has visited, following those in Cologne, Germany in August 2005, and the Park East Synagogue in New York in April 2008. The exact date of the visit is yet to be decided. In memory of the late Vietnamese Cardinal François Van Thuan, the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council in 2007 set up the St. Matthew Foundation to highlight the work of organizations putting the Church's social doctrine into practice. The foundation gives an annual award to those who have distinguished themselves in the promotion of human rights, together with a Solidarity and Development Award to organizations focused on supporting vulnerable communities in countries around the world. This year, on September 16th, the 7th anniversary of Cardinal Van Thuan's death, the Human Rights Award was presented to the Grand Duke Henri of Luxembourg. Four other prizes, to the value of €15,000 each, were given to four humanitarian projects, working with prisoners in Colombia, with the blind in Thailand, with missionaries across the developing world, and with deprived youngsters living in France's biggest urban centres. Cardinal Van Thuan's successor as president of the Pontifical Justice and Peace Council is Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino, who was on hand on Wednesday for the awards ceremony, followed by a concert of music by Italian composer Monsignor Marco Frisina, who has set to music some prayers written by the Vietnamese prelate during his many years in jail. Cardinal Martino told me more about the legacy of his predecessor and the aims of these annual awards.
First of all, is the creation, the institution of the foundation, which bears the name of Saint Matthew in memory of Cardinal François Nguyen Van Thuan. Now, the reason is to make known this marvelous prelate, this marvelous person who has been for 13 years in the prison in Vietnam. Out of these 13 years, 9 were spent in isolated confinement. But the cardinal, through all these difficulties, never lost his hope. And that is why Maestro Frisina has composed a beautiful cantata inspired by a prayer of Cardinal Van Thuan on hope. And also, when I told Pope Benedict XVI of our intention to propose to open the process for beatification, he was very happy because he also has a great esteem and veneration for Cardinal Van Thuan. And so this is the reason that we want to make known this figure, this person around the world, so that he can transmit his message to everybody.
Interestingly, one of the recipients of the award this year is an organization working on prison ministry. This is a direct influence of the cardinal on this work of your council.
Yes, and another one on blind people, also suffering people. And so we try to choose. There is a myriad of beautiful initiatives, but this is also a good reason for those to help those who spend life in prison so that they can be helped and encouraged.
There's also going to be a film about the life of the late cardinal.
Yes, and young director. I hope that we will find both the means and the possibility to, and this will help much more to make known Cardinal Van Thuan.
Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino, President of the Justice and Peace Council. Among the four organisations receiving the Van Thuan Solidarity and Development Award for 2009 was the Skills Development Centre for the Blind in Pakred, Thailand. Salesian Father Carlo Velardo is director of the centre. He told me more about its foundation and about its training programmes for young blind men today.
It all started back in 1978 when the Foundation for the Blind in Thailand, under the patronage of Her Majesty the Queen, decided that they wanted to change the way that the Center for Blind People, Young Men in Nonthaburi, Pakret Nonthaburi, was going. Because actually after 17 years of activity, there were almost no results. So some members of the board of the foundation even decided to close it down, but some others wanted to try something just to revive it. So they approached the Apostolic Nuncio in Thailand to find some religious orders, Catholic religious orders, that could take care of it. Incidentally, the Foundation for the Blind in Thailand is not a Catholic, it's not a Christian foundation. It's a Buddhist in its base. But they decided that they wanted to have Catholics to run it. So the Apostolic Nuncio, Monsignor Moretti, approached the provincial of the Salesians And between suggesting and imposing the fact, say, well, Don Bosco will do it, so our provincial took it. And that's all. We started this way, a very, very simple way, actually, to take care of the centre.
So how does the centre work today? What kind of skills are you teaching to the young students there?
Well, first of all, we have to go back a little bit. When we started in 1978, there were a lot of things that they tried before, but the only thing that we found was carpentry or woodwork. And actually, it didn't work even, because nobody would employ a blind person working on a lathe or on a machine, on an electric machine, and so on. They were all scared that it would be in accidents and so on. So we had to find other things to do this. At the same time, when I took over as a rector of the centre in the 1980s, we had to find other avenues. So I just thought that we would even change the name of the centre, so to give a new perspective. And that we found out this other name, Skills Development, because I'm sure, until now, that every blind person has its own abilities. So to find out what kind of abilities were there and how we could enhance those abilities with skills. Then we tried several things with the only goal of putting them on mainstream society. It's a job as employees that somebody would gain his own life without it being there begging and so on. And we tried many things. But at long last, we just focused on one trade or one job, if you like, that is meaningful, dignified, and also gainful. And that was Thai traditional massage. That is the main thing that we teach now. And it gives results.
And how many students now do you have being trained for these massage skills?
We have altogether 80 people each year. It's a two-year course, 40 for the first year and 40 for the second.
And almost all of these young students will be able to find themselves jobs when they leave the centre?
Well, the statistic that we have is 98% capacity of job that can be found. The outcome is quite good. We are very requested, very much requested on the job market, because their skills are really good.
If the students didn't have the facilities of this centre, what kind of life, what kind of future would they have there in Thailand?
Well, when we started our job there, our work there, the activities they were doing for gaining their life was selling lottery tickets on the streets. Some of them were musicians, but the street musicians. Some others were telephone operators, but the old system, the plug-in, plug-out. So we thought that, well, these are jobs, they are honest jobs anyway, but they cannot long last. So we found this other one, but you don't have to invest much in terms of material things. You just have your good hands, your good skills, and you can earn your life.
You said that originally the foundation for the blind was a Buddhist
foundation. It is still now.
So what kind of relationship do the students have with the church? What kind of faith input, if any, is there in the work that you do there?
Well, as a solution, we live with them. So the first thing that we give them is our own life with them. We live together. So the first witness we give that the love of God is expressed through our presence. That's the first thing we do. The second one is that since we are with them, we have a lot of chances to talk to them. And this is a relationship, very good relationship that we have with our students. And every time that we talk to them, of course, these evangelic values, they come out always. And in the true Salesian way, in the evenings after prayers, which incidentally is a kind of very open prayer to God, there's always a good night thought that we give to the students. And in that good night thought, of course, the evangelical values are also transmitted.
What kind of attitudes exist today in Thailand towards the blind or indeed other kinds of disabilities? And has the work of your centre in any way changed that perception?
Well, thank God that there's been a lot of progress in the past 30 years in the way that people look at the disability in general and blind in particular. Before they were ostracized, they were just set apart, they put in a corner and so on. Now they're very much in the limelight, also because among the different disabilities, the blind and those who are in the forefront of all in the progress of all the development of all these things. And the way that we, our part in this kind of opening of society is the fact that we stressed on the abilities of this blind person. We stressed on socialization. I am very much present in all these kind of gatherings of disabled and also blind in particular. I'm very much present in the National Association of the Blind. I'm one of the advisors of this association and so many others, regional associations.
Finally, the Van Thuan Award that you're receiving, what difference will that make to your work? What impact will it have, if any?
Well, the first one will be the limelight that people will see that the church cares through this kind of award. It's not a personal thing that I'm doing because I'm not the only person working there. There are a lot of conferences, Asian conferences that have been helping along the years. So, but we do it in the name of the church. So there will be very much in light of the fact that the church is present in this kind of world for the disabled. And in fact, we are pushing towards the enhancement of the rights of the blind person. Even myself, I work very much together with the Association of the Blind, the International Association of the Blind, for advocacy. So we know that we are there, and this kind of award that we are going to present to them through me, it's a sign that the church is very much involved in this progress in the rights of the disabled.
Thanks there to Salesian Father Carlo Velardo, director of the Skills Development Centre for the Blind in Thailand and one of the recipients of the Cardinal Van Thuan Solidarity and Development Award for 2009. On the afternoon of Wednesday, September the 16th, Pope Benedict visited and blessed the new headquarters of the Vatican Observatory located south of Rome at Castel Gandolfo. The observatory had been based inside the Papal Palace at Castel Gandolfo for more than half a century, but recently moved to a nearby newly renovated convent located in the Papal Gardens, offering bigger and more modern facilities. As well as the scientific research that goes on, the Jesuit-run observatory offers a program of summer schools and conferences, as the director, Father José Funes, explained to my colleague Ema McCarthy.
This year has been a very busy for us, but it's also a great occasion to show our work, what we do at the Vatican Observatory. As you mentioned, we have had this gathering of former students and faculty of the past summer school, which was very good, I mean, very successful. In June, a book about the mission of the Vatican Observatory was published in English. The title of the book is The Heavens Proclaim, and there each Jesuit contributed to a chapter about our research and about the history of the observatory. And now we're moving to October, where we have an important exhibition at the Vatican Museums in collaboration with the Italian observatories. All instruments since practically the time of Galileo, even before, will be displayed in this exhibition, going from the time of Galileo until today. The exhibition will be open to the public from middle October to middle January. The other activity is in collaboration with the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. We are organizing a workshop, study week on astrobiology, which is the research of life in the universe, where, in which places we should search for sign of life in the universe.
Father Funes, I hate to interrupt you, but many of our listeners will probably find that quite odd. The Specola Vaticana, the Vatican Observatory, and the Vatican Academy of Social Sci- for Sciences discussing life in other parts of the world and the universe. Perhaps many people think that, we don't believe there's life anywhere else in other parts of the universe.
Yes. First, I would like to say that this is a very interesting topic, and it is an academic topic. Many big institutions are involved in this kind of research, just to say NASA, for example. It's a topic that is very much present in the academic community. Until now, we don't have any proof of the existence of life, even the most primitive form of life. But there are many missions of NASA and serious projects that are that they have as a goal to search for life in the universe. And besides, this is an interdisciplinary study because biology and astronomy interact together. And as you can imagine, there are many other philosophical and theological questions that may raise with this kind of research.
So once again, the Specula Vaticana at the forefront of questioning, but doesn't necessarily mean questioning one's faith.
No. This is a cutting-edge research. And it's important for the Vatican Observatory and for the Church to be there where the most important research is going on. And I would like to say that the Pontifical Academy is an ideal venue for this kind of studies because the Academy is an interdisciplinary body. So this is the ideal place to discuss this kind of topics. And, of course, this kind of research is not against our understanding of the creation and God's creation. And so I think it's going to be very fascinating.
Now, indeed, it's a theme that has recurred throughout the pontificate of Benedict XVI, the one of the need for greater dialogue and questioning between science and faith, the fact that without questioning of each other and dialogue with each other, then they're both null and, well, science is null and void on the one hand, and faith is reduced to something quite superficial on the other. And indeed, one of the highlights perhaps for the Specula Vaticana this year is the fact that Wednesday afternoon, you're getting a very special visitor, the first visitor to your new residence.
Yes, we are very pleased very happy to receive the Holy Father this afternoon coming to bless the new facilities. And it is a sign of Benedict XVI, of his interest for science and for in particularly our work and at the Vatican Observatory. So this is a very important visit for us, and a very significant one, because sometimes science is presented as against religion or that the Church is against science, and this is simply not true. As the Holy Father pointed out in the Feast of the Epiphany this year, the International Year of Astronomy, he said that there are many men and women that follow the steps of Galileo, in the sense that Galileo was a believer and at the same time a good scientist. So we can do our scientific research in a very serious way, making our efforts, and at the same time we can be good believers. I mean, it's not against the science to believe in God. And I think we need to stress this.
Thanks there to Father Jose Funes, director of the Vatican Observatory, speaking to Emma McCarthy. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the Vatican Radio for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow or find us on the internet, www.vaticanradio.org/English. You're listening to Vatican Radio, Laudato Jesus Christus.